Welcome back. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. But just before we get to our guest here, just a brief announcement here. We've been monitoring what's going on with the county clerk's office in terms of the upcoming election. Today is the last day for candidates to file for their respective seats. There are 14 candidates now listed for two different county commissioner positions. And, of course, we'll be monitoring that. And as soon as we get close to the election, we'll invite all of those people in for an opportunity to tell you why you should vote for them. So keep your eye on that. In the meantime, city staff is in here at KAJO Radio, and let's start with Mr. Kubik this morning. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
A loose crew this morning here. Everybody came in kind of just easing in.
We did come easing in. You're going to have some busy shows on the big slate of candidates coming up. That's quite a few.
That's quite a few. That's for two seats.
Wow. Yeah.
Let's see. Others, I think those are the ones that are probably going to be contested now because the others have to be elected in the November election, and the only way we'll see those on the ballot is if there are three candidates, and right now that doesn't exist. So
yeah. Well, good morning. Yes,
I've got
a good crew today. There's some exciting things that are going on, a lot of it with capital project focus. And so I have Bradley Clark, our CD director, and Wade Elliott, our assistant public works director, here to help talk to our listeners about some of the exciting things that are headed our way. And there's been some activity in the downtown corridor area that both of them can talk about, and Bradley might start us off with that. And then also we have some exciting news coming down from the state level with regards to Spalding Industrial Park that I'd like to talk about also.
That's $2 million worth, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, okay. Yep. All right. Now, this is something we've been waiting for a long, long time.
It's been quite a while. This has been on the books for us of something to be done for a decade at least, or if not more. We knew that there was some infrastructure challenges with our employment land, which is considered our industrial land out in the Spalding Park area. For those of you that don't know where the Spalding Park area is, it's down there south of our South I-5 interchange. Down there east of Walmart area and stuff, we've got a lot of industrial land there, and it has had some challenges from an infrastructure perspective. One of those key challenges has been sewer and the ability to provide sewer to those properties.
And this $2 million should at least get it to the point where we can really attract some activity in the industrial park. Is this the key?
Yeah, the key is we want to try to get that what we call shovel ready. And that means a developer could come in and build the suit on what they'd like to have when it comes to industrial land and industrial uses. And right now they don't have the ability to do shovel-ready property because of those encumbrances. So this will help lift that. And I know Wade can talk a little bit about what those sewer deficiencies are and how this grant, the money that we've got, is going to help fix that.
Now, we're saying the money is solid right now, we expect it, but it still requires the governor's signature. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Do we anticipate any problem with that?
I have not heard any.
Okay. So we're holding our breath just a little bit, saying, send us the money.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Wade, can you expand on that a little bit and see what's going on? Because this industrial park has been really stymied for as long as I can remember here, because you can't develop it without a sewer.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for having me on. My name is Wade Elliott. I'm the Assistant Public Works Director, and I've been with the city for about 8 years, and Spalding has been kind of something that we've been working on for, well, before I got here.
Before you,
in earnest since, when I got here, and we were trying to figure out what the best way to get the sewer out of there. It's in kind of a unique geographic area where, if you can envision the top of industry where like Edgewater Christian Fellowship is, that's kind of up on a hill. And then as you keep heading east, it drops off the backside of that hill down into the Jones Creek water drainage watershed. And so sewer, typically we try to have our sewer only run in a gravity configuration so that it runs to the low point, which is our water treatment plant. We have a few pump stations across the city, namely over in the Redwood area, But this was an area that we knew we were going to have to pump the sewage up and out of the Spalding industrial area. So we've been going through, you know, options A, B, C, concepts, D, E, and F. And I think we're on like G or H now, but we've got a really good plan in place. So the plan is we're going to have sewer available in a little road called Faville Lane down there, and it's on the east side of Jones Creek. And any developers will be able to connect into that point. And then it'll immediately cross Jones Creek with an aerial crossing, which just means it will build a small little bridge that will convey the pipe over the top of Jones Creek, because it's a pretty deep canyon chasm there to get down to the actual water level. So we'll suspend the pipe in there, and then we're going to run it westerly along the railroad tracks, and it'll progressively get deeper and deeper so that we can maintain a gravity flow system until it gets to Shannon Lane. And then in Shannon Lane, it's going to be too deep to connect to any of our sewer at that point. So we'll have a lift station, and we'll pump the sewage up to Spalding Drive, and then it'll hit our existing gravity system from there and gravity drain to the plant.
All I understand is gravity.
Yeah.
but thank you. But thank you very much. Now, is $2 million going to be enough?
Well, we've been the city's been socking money away for a while. We have two other funding sources locally. One is our wastewater utility dollars, and so we've been socking away a couple $100,000 here and there. And then also we have a pretty good contribution from the Urban Renewal Agency, and that makes up the city's portion of the funding, which is approximately $2.5 million. And we thought the project was going to cost in the $4 million range. And so this $2 million that the state lottery fund revenues has been dedicated to this project should close the funding loop. So we will be ready to put it out to bid hopefully sometime this summer or fall. We still need to get some permitting in place for the aerial crossing.
Right, like most citizens out there, saying you got the money. What are we waiting for? Mm-hmm. You know, but the process goes slowly, and it'll go out in the fall. Expect to see work what next spring?
Yeah, I would think so. So the crossing of Jones Creek, it's a fish-bearing stream, and so there's a fair amount of permitting from the state agencies, Department of State Lands and DEQ, that needs to happen to get the okay to do that. The design itself is nearly completed. We're at the 90% range. We could get it finished real quick, but the permitting is going to take a little time. Another thing that we're worried about is, with this being such a deep sewer line, it's going to end up being approximately 14 to 16 foot deep by the time it gets to the pump station, is the groundwater in that area. There's quite a bit of it, especially along the railroad tracks, that it's just kind of a little bit swampy down there. And so we'll probably want to target a construction period that's outside of the high groundwater table time. So winter, spring, we're probably going to avoid that and then either try to hit
next
the
summer.
Fall or summer.
Yep. Next summer. All right. Good to know at least that something is moving along in that area, because I know economic development is high on the list of both the city and the county here. Okay. And Brad, welcome. I didn't mean to bypass you there. Just jumped right over you there. Sure. But there are lots of other things going on downtown, and we see just lots of orange signs around starting already to divert traffic a little bit, change things and make things safe for people who are working downtown. Doing what?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, the Owl Plaza / Fifth Street project is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we've often talked about the Owl Plaza, but the truth is that the Fifth Street portion of the project is actually probably going to be the as much, if not more, of an impact visually on that area as the plaza itself, because both the G and Fifth intersection and the H and Fifth intersection, as well as that whole stretch of Fifth Street between G and H, you know, is all being reconstructed. As well, of course, the plaza itself. So yeah, that's the project, and hopefully people have come to the city's website. We've got a lot of information there. We've had the Buy a Brick campaign out for a while now, and we've raised over $25,000 for that. So
$25,000 to buy a brick.
You
can still buy them too, can't you?
You can.
All right.
Yeah, we still got some left. So yeah, no, I think it's. The downtown area in terms of public spaces where people can gather, where you can have different events, where, you know, you can you just hang out, or you want to, you know, have come down and enjoy the art along the road or whatever it might be, is an important part of any community. And for us, that really is kind of the heart, the 100% corner of us planners like to call them. We're going to have a forum tonight for anybody that is, particularly for the businesses that are in that area that will be impacted by this project. They can come down to the chambers at 5:30 tonight, and Wade and I and a few others. Vitus Construction is the contractor on this project. They'll have a representative there as well, and have an opportunity to talk about the scope of the project, particularly how it will affect pedestrian and traffic movement. It's going to be a little bit chaotic for a few months, but I think after that, it's going to be a beautiful space for Grants Pass.
I was under the impression that most of the businesses down there that were going to be affected were notified, or at least were aware, made aware that something was happening here.
You know, the city did send a mailer out last fall, about 70 different folks, and then we've tried to get the word out in various ways. Once Vitus came on board, we did more door-to-door kind of outreach, so we did do that fairly recently as well, there will be a full-time person on site while the work is being done that will be available, just dedicated to listening to the business owners, the merchants, addressing traffic concerns. So that's hopefully going to be at least part of the solution to help make it a little less painful.
So someone can listen after listening, and do they have any authority?
Well, good point. Yes. There's going to be, and Wade can maybe chip in on this, but I think the whole point is to try to ensure as much as possible that deliveries and other kinds of services that the merchants need there can be addressed and accommodated, as much as possible.
So. All right. Now, your word, it's going to be chaotic for a while. When does the chaos start? Is it going to be all summer?
We've got phasing going on with the project. So, we're going to really focus on G first, and then H will be second. And they've actually already started some of the sort of curbing work. You can see that out there today. But the project right now is scheduled to go through the end of June. In terms of the full closures, we're targeting, G Street here starting in a couple of weeks. That'll be closed, and then there'll be a little bit of a break, and then H Street will be closed after that.
So through the end of June. So by midsummer, it will be complete?
Yes.
So, All right. That's in time. Plenty of time for other events going on downtown.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Okay.
Yeah.
All that being said, but chaos is going to start here soon. Street closures, when's that going to start happening right now, or is it?
So we have a schedule put together that Vitus prepared, and one thing I've learned with schedules is that they change. So bear with us. But right now they're looking to close G Street on next week, on March 15th, and then it's going to stay closed for approximately 28 days. And what we're going to do with those intersections is we're going to raise it
to... Well, the whole street from... 4th to 6th be closed?
Yep, and we'll have a kind of a detour route to get folks in and around there. Now, it'll be open to pedestrian traffic, so you can walk down there and visit your favorite shops down there, and we really encourage you to go support those businesses for this four-week period.
And you can supervise the construction.
We'll try to keep you out of that area. So what we're going to do with those intersections is we're going to do raised intersections at H and G Street. And so we will bring the road grade all the way up to the top of what the sidewalk is and the curb is existing. And it'll be a different color. It'll be concrete, and we're going to have some different colors and patterns in there. But what it'll do is it'll be a little bit like a speed bump in there. It'll kind of demarcate that, hey, this is a pedestrian zone, and it'll also be a visual disruption to the black asphalt pavement that says, hey, look out for pedestrians here. And that's kind of the thought. It also helps us out, kind of a tertiary benefit, is that it helps us get ADA grades easier as we try to butt up to those historic buildings down there. So it's going to help us on that front. So G and 5th will be raised intersections, or G and H will be. And then 5th Street in between G and H is also going to be at the same grade. And so the thought is that it will be able to kind of allow pedestrians to flow through the area. We're going to be able to have some removable bollards that we can put in place for different events like Art Along the Rogue or the Christmas Tree. And then we can close down certain sections of that area to vehicular traffic. And then the pedestrians can kind of flow through the area. So that's the plan.
It's the plan. All right. All we have to do is execute it now.
Yep. yep. And then H Street, tentatively, we're looking at the end of April, we'll be closing H Street for that intersection.
Okay. For about the same amount of time.
Yep.
And from, again, 4th through 6th.
Yep. That's correct.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what's coming. To use Ward, his word, it's going to be chaotic. For just a little bit, though. We'll be right back.
Independence. Freedom. With
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress here, and we'll continue with city staff today, and we're talking about some of the changes going to be happening downtown. The chaotic. I'm sorry I latched onto that word. But it's going to be worth it, isn't it? What are we looking at here? And what all will the chaos be? Just a disrupting of traffic here for some of the businesses here, but foot traffic is still available. Alleys are still available. Is all that correct?
It is. Like Wade said, starting last week and then through the end of June, there's different phases to the project, and so there's going to be different closures at different times, particularly when we get to starting work on the plaza / parking lot itself. To emphasize, this is both. It's still going to be both a parking lot and a plaza. When they're working on that, that's ripping out that old fountain that's in there now. It's, ripping up everything, and it's going to be brick pavers as the surface. So, that's a pretty labor intensive. And then the alley during that period will also have some minimal closure time. But for the most part, when they're working on 5th Street and doing some of those intersection work, there's going to be some access there. But again, like I said, the traffic control supervisor that is going to be around there will get to know all the businesses quite well, so that
that's a person who can listen,
who can listen and has some authority to help work with them on getting some of their deliveries and other things needs met. So, I think in terms of the vision for the project, the council's been talking about this a while. This the community has been talking about this for years in terms of having some kind of dedicated downtown, open public space, and that's a little bit more of an urban feel. There's Debo Park, which of course is open space now. That's fairly close to downtown, but this will sort of create that more urban space. Once you get the trees, the benches. The shade sale, there's going to be a shade sale over about a 25% of the plaza that will create a really nice area for, particularly in the summertime events. But and then when you add that together with some of the new streetlights and the work that's being done around there by private property owners, there's a lot of investment that's also going on downtown that's, that's private investment. I think it's an exciting time over the next few years about some of the transformation that's happening.
And all the planning that's gone into this, it's actually a pretty short time frame if we're talking about things happening now and being done by the end of June and ready for the rest of the summer to be enjoyed. It might disrupt a couple of first Fridays, I would expect.
Yep.
But foot traffic is going to be available to go all the stores anyway, right?
It will. It will. Yep. Yep. Yeah, I think the what did you just say? Something about the
I mentioned first Fridays and the foot traffic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's going to be ADA as well. There's a plan for that. So there'll be that opportunity for folks who need accessibility routes. Those will be clearly demarcated. So and again. We're going to be having some discussion tonight where there'll be more specifics about how the routing will actually work for both vehicles in and out of Cayman Plaza, And then coming from the 4th Street side as well, sort of where exactly those turning movements will be. So we'll make that information available.
All right, again, and that's happening tonight. Give us the particulars for tonight.
Yes, 5:30 p.m. in the council chambers.
All right, and will the designated listener be on hand? Do we know who that is yet?
Vitus,
why do we call him a liaison or something?
What is the formal name, Wade?
Well, the bid I report is a traffic control supervisor, and we have it on some of our other capital projects, and they are in charge of all the traffic control. And then, as you can imagine, this getting the signs set up and getting the flaggers lined out only takes so much time, but they're already on the project. So we've been using that position to go, you know, notify the next block before we get there on a sewer replacement project and be that kind of face that talks about it.
So there'll be a face that'll be familiar.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, the contractor knows a lot more about what's going to happen than we do as a city.
Now, this isn't going to be a city employee. This is going to be a contractor employee.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, all right. So.
And we'll have a city inspector on it as well.
All right. Well, that's good news. All right. More coming right here on KAJR Radio. In the meantime, going into the top of the news, we want to tease the folks. What do we want to talk about next half hour? Since we finished this one up and there's nothing else to talk about.
Well, right. Well, I think if we keep it totally open, then they'll really be wondering what we might talk about next.
Oh, no. Here we go, folks. Get close to your radios because we appreciate your ears, and we'll be back right after news. In the meantime, you're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon.
Hi.
Rubco. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The phone lines are open. If you have a question or comment for our guest, the number is 541-472-1270. And you hear the sound of the radio coming back to Gravone. That means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest from city staff today. Let's see. Golly, we've got about everybody here. Every time I see Wade come in, I just know that my streets are going to be messed up here for probably all summer long. Wade, any other areas that we need to be concerned about?
That's accurate. Well, how much time you got?
You can come back next week, too.
Yeah, sure. So a couple of projects that are actually actively under construction right now. Allen Creek Road is moving forward. We ended up finding a gas line conflict where the high-pressure gas line was a little bit too shallow into where our contractor was excavating. So Avista was really helpful, and they got on it pretty quick, and they should be finishing the relocation this week. So the construction work kind of paused on Allen Creek, but they'll kick it back off here in a couple weeks. It's scheduled to be finished this fall. They have mostly completed the sidewalk and curb and gutter on the east side, and then they have gone over and they've started on the east or on the west side. So that one's still under construction. Hillcrest Drive is also under construction right now, and the end's in sight on Hillcrest Drive. So this project goes from 9th Street to Beacon, and they have been they've installed all the underground utilities like sewer that they put in there, and then they've mostly finished up with the subgrade installation, putting in the new road base, and then they'll be doing curb and gutter and paving in April. So this project should be substantially complete in April. I know the folks up in that area of town have been dealing with construction for a long time, whether it was between us or ODOT or Josephine County doing different projects, but we're almost there.
And is in sight.
Yes, indeed. Also, it's night work, and so folks probably aren't seeing it much, but we have a contractor, Pilot Rock Excavation, is installing a water line in Redwood Highway. It's a really high priority project for the city. It's a large transmission main that's running from approximately Allen Creek along Redwood Highway all the way out to Rowe Community College out there. And that's really important. There will be some disruptions. So it's night work. You probably don't see it a lot other than an excavator parked during the daytime. But they will be doing some boring underneath at all the major intersections like Willow and Dowell and Hubbard to connect into the existing system. And part of the reason we did that project was so that we had redundancy within the system. And by redundancy, I mean that there's multiple ways to serve or charge the water lines. It was kind of a risk for us, but we're mitigating that now, and so there will be multiple ways to get water in there. And also, I wanted to just let you guys know that ODOT is entering the final phase of their ADA ramp project. So you will see any ADA ramp that's on a ODOT road, so think 238 or US 199, et cetera. If it hasn't had an ADA ramp completed on it, it'll happen here in the next couple of years. So the city's been busy relocating our utilities. In a lot of cases, we had water valves, fire hydrants, things like that that conflicted with the new ADA ramp. So ODOT will be coming in. They've hired HP Civil to do the last phase of their project.
Okay. Are you done?
Well, that's all the current ones. I got a lot of proposed ones, but I'll stop for a bit.
All right. That's what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Wade. Brad, community development. We're talking about some things here that are coming to fruition here. We've talked about the Spalding Industrial Park and what's going on downtown. And what's the vision here for both of those areas here is in terms of community development? Downtown should look really special when we get this project done here. What's that mean to us in terms of what's coming into town or community development or where we stand here in Southern Oregon?
Yeah. Well, I might jump back to the first topic that we started out today on the Spalding. As we've talked about it, I think several times on your show, Chuck, the poverty rate is a pretty persistent challenge here in Southern Oregon. Josephine County in particular, we're still hovering around 15%. Most of the research shows that those manufacturing, warehousing, industry type jobs,
we're missing, right?
We're missing. So we really, that's the whole vision, for Spalding. And I think, the city manager mentioned a few shows ago that when the mill was operating in Spalding, it was somewhere around 130 to 150 jobs at peak. Now there are more than 800 jobs in that Spalding Industrial Park area, in a wide variety of different industries. I think from an economic development, community development perspective, where we have the opportunity to focus our resources on building up, partnering with the private sector on these kinds of industries. So that's really where we want to focus, and I think that's a driving force for the Spalding project, opening up that land. And I think the word is probably just competitive. Obviously there's other when new businesses or even existing ones look to expand. We know they're looking at White City. We know they're looking at parts of the other parts of the Rogue Valley. But having full utilities and the ability to give them the power, the water, the sewer services that they need does increase our competitiveness. And that's really the goal here. So, in terms of the downtown, you're right. That area between the river and A Street, kind of going both sides of 6th and 7th. If you look at property values, some of the highest in the county. If you look at the number of jobs, some of the highest in the county. You look at trip destinations, some of the highest in the county. This is such a focal point, and being able to work with the new Main Street organization, being able to bring expanded events downtown. This is part of the whole picture. We need it all. That's not really where we're going to find the higher wage jobs per se, but it certainly is from a valuation standpoint. Some of the a really key part that we want to continue to put a focus on for building up the that downtown core.
All right, that downtown core certainly is attractive, and it's a historic district. And with the new plaza going in and all of the things that have gone into it right now, are there ways to expand what we're talking about, or are there new events that could go downtown? Have we explored some of those, or any of those on the calendar?
Well, not from the city's side in terms of actually the city operating or sponsoring. We continue to do Art Along the Rogue this year, of course. Maybe there's others that Aaron can find. We do want to, since we're talking about capital projects today, throw in the Riverside Park. So I don't know if you want to do that now, but we've got a band shell, a stage project that is – bid out, and we had a bid opening last week. And the city council has this on their March 18th agenda to award a contractor to build this stage in Riverside Park. So that's we're finally to the point where we can see the days kind of showing this thing to come to maturity. So that's exciting. Now, a lot of this kind of goes back to the Isaac Walton Building days, where people thought of Riverside Park as a place where you could go to do different events, or have your kids dance, or whatever you went to Isaac Walton for.
My daughter danced in the Isaac Walton Building.
Okay.
Wow.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I just aged myself, didn't I?
Yeah. So now, with some of that, the monies that were dedicated to that project have been kind of converted into what will now be another place where people can rent and have. Yeah, there'll be a stage with power, as well as for about 6 months of the year, a band shell, a clam shell, kind of over it for some different concerts and other kinds of events with some good acoustics.
Well, with the contract going to be awarded, did we say the 18th?
Yes.
Is going to come before the council. I anticipate that shouldn't take very long to construct once it's up and going. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So this summer?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's I think it's about 50 feet wide, 30 feet deep, something like that, in terms of the actual stage itself. And that's really all we're talking about, as well as extending three-phase power from East Park Street, boring underneath the ball field there, and getting building a new vault that will be adjacent to the stage, and so that's another key part of the project.
All right. When I'm talking about downtown, I view Riverside Park North up to A. That I put the park into all of that situation, and it's certainly one of certainly our gems here that I think we're getting back and getting a handle on it. So that's good news. In terms of outreach, and I know the Main Street has talked about bringing back the cruise downtown. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I know we've got car shows and everything involved. And I know it's okay to get back in the park. I'm not sure the car people are back in the park yet. Aaron, do you have any?
So the Classic Cruisers are still scheduled to have their event out at the fairgrounds, mm-hmm. and that's that sort of back to the 50s type of celebration. We did discuss with them the opportunities for them to come back in 27 to the park if they so desire, but they have had it scheduled for the fairgrounds area. There is, through Main Street, the discussions of another car celebration for the area, and I think it's scheduled for around July 24th.
In conjunction with the car show.
Well, I'm not sure if it's in conjunction. If they definitely are willing to partner with each other, I'm sure that would be great. But Main Street and what they're looking at would be bringing back the cruise, and then bringing back also some car shows, and one of those being in Riverside Park is what the discussion is.
All right, so I may have a lot more coming up here.
We may have a lot more. It's going to be expanded, whether it be on it together in conjunction or separate. It looks like there's going to be additional opportunities for people who love classic cars to celebrate in Grants Pass.
All right, well, that's put us on the map in particular for, Boatnick, of course, statewide, and we could be known as a place for classic cars also all summer long, which is certainly a joy to us to just see them cruising.
I think that would be great. We do have a number of car shows popping up. I think the first one starts in May, and we've got a number of them that we're signing off on to utilize some of our public spaces in order to highlight some of the wonderful cars that we have around here.
So lots of things happening downtown, really reaching out here. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We'll take a deep breath, and we'll be right back after this important message.
Recycling has seen many...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for a guest, I'd like to go back to Brad here for just a little bit, because we kind of glanced over Spalding Industrial Park and in some of the potential out there. Do we have a plan once we get this situation in? And I know it would be long-term to reach out, or do we have any targeted industries that could bring in some of those high-paying jobs we talked about? Is that outreach fall under your community development, Brad?
Yes. You know, the city is a original member and kind of founder of So Ready, the Southern Oregon Economic Development Inc. They are charged with really putting more resources, honestly, in terms of the national outreach and recruitment side for traded sector jobs than what the city is. So it's a partnership. But as we have dedicated more staff time to economic development, we have been doing more research into where, you know, what are those sectors that are appropriate and a best fit for Grants Pass. You know, this is on the rail.
We're in competition for those areas.
Yeah, we are, you know. I mean, we're good access to the rail there. You know, it's less than a half mile to I-5 interchange. You know, and I think a big piece is having the infrastructure in place, and that's part of why we're doing this. In terms of your question about a specific industry, I would say that that's not really our focus, mm-hmm. because you know you want to have flexibility. I mean, it's certainly dedicated by the it was designated by the state about 10-12 years ago as a priority area, a regionally significant industrial area. And which is a state designation, which essentially just means that you have a higher likelihood of getting state resources, particularly with Business Oregon and any kind of environmental work that DEQ might work on, as well as their expedited permits. So it continues to have that designation. We promote that. And if you go out there today, you know, you see a new 60,000 plus square foot warehouse building. And honestly, that's a part of recruitment efforts when they can actually see a significant, you know, million plus dollars of investment going on in an area. That's attractive. So, you know, that's all part of it. I think in terms of just quality of life, you know, I mean, that's what we always come back to, right? What are the schools like? You know, what kind of parks do you have? What are the other opportunities for families to do? And that is something that business owners and developers look at, honestly, just right up there with what the actual property is. I mean, it's all super important. So,
all right, and housing goes into that also.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes.
All right. How's it? That's one thing that we're short on yet.
We are, but you know, we're making headway.
We definitely are making headway. There's so much going on from the standpoint, and I know Bradley has the numbers probably much more accurate than I do in my head, but there's a lot of investment happening throughout the community from developers and builders. And also there's a lot of incentives that has been happening on a policy board level from city council that has created opportunities for not only the private sector, but ultimately the public sector also to help create housing within our community. And we have our Allenwood project, and that's an excellent example of one of those where city council recognizes that we need additional housing infrastructure. And through some property that the city owned, we're helping to incentivize the development of, I think, 160, 180 type of residential units off of Williams Highway. And that's just one example. Another one that we're looking at is our North Star project with urban renewal dollars and providing additional housing up there where the old hospital is. So those are just two of multiple examples that we have where city council has made policy decisions to help incentivize and address our housing needs.
Right. That's one area that I was going to ask about since I've got everybody here. That old hospital property at Midland and Washington. And I know we've got somebody working on that. What's the status so far? Are we making progress or about to see something happen up there?
Yes.
Yeah, well, the focus right now is visioning and the community outreach piece. You know, when you say make something happen, there won't be any on the ground
shovel going in.
Yes, yeah. Right. But the consultant that the city hired we've met with several times now. We're preparing to advertise, I think, next week, some specific opportunities to engage either through surveys, small focus groups, and then a larger sort of, you know, architectural focused kind of conversation about what do people, you know, envision there for land uses. So that kind of forum is planned for April. So that's coming up, and we'll be putting out much more information about where and the times and what people can expect for that event.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We'll take a deep breath and be right back.
Hear that?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment here of the Tuesday Talk Show. Once again, still have time for a phone call or two if you have a question or comment. 541-472-1270. I've got right at about 6 minutes left here. And I'd like to review a couple of things. First of all, Wade, you want to give us an update or rehash of what people expect to see in terms of the downtown chaos? Let's say excitement.
Yeah, and, sure.
I latched onto that chaos word today. It's your fault.
Well,
but the excitement's going to be happening downtown.
A couple of the key dates that we have coming up, Chuck, is that we, on the 15th of this month, we're tentatively going to close G Street to begin working on that raised pedestrian crossing. The reason that it's closed for approximately 28 days is that's about the cure time required for the concrete to reach strength so we can put cars on it. So they'll need to demo the existing infrastructure, the pavement, all that stuff, get it out of the way, regrade underneath it, and then they'll have to form up and pour the concrete and allow it to cure for a certain amount of time. And then 8th Street right now, we're looking at probably the end of April. We'll be closing 8th Street to do the same thing over on that side.
All right.
So those are the near dates.
All right. That's the excitement that's coming up. All right. Tell me what people should take away from today's program. Yeah.
That you're looking at me, Chuck.
I'm looking at you.
Capital. I think that's the word that Aaron used at the beginning. Capital projects. Capital projects means putting many times taxpayer dollars, most of the time taxpayer, whether that takes the form of federal dollars, state dollars, local dollars, and putting them in the ground for projects that add value. Some of these things like sewer lines, we don't think about. But I think it's really, really important to bear in mind that when you're seeing some of these large numbers for how much it takes to build some of these projects, whether that's Allen Creek or a sewer main or or a plaza that we spend a lot of time looking at the best way to invest those dollars. And we spend, research time. We look at, the contractors who are going to do the best quality job. And, when you go around historic cities and communities, and you see things that have been there for 80 years, 100 years, or you go to Europe and you see things been there for 500 years, you know, these are often the places that we identify and associate with a place, because they stand the test of time. And, when I think of capital projects, that's what I think. Wade may come up with something different, but so I think that's a important thing to bear in mind as we build these things and you see them coming up out of the ground.
I love your phrase, putting the money in the ground. Yeah, right. We're not burying dollars, folks. We're investing. Brad, thank you very much. Mr. Kubik, great show today here. You brought the right people.
Yeah, a building community building and doing what we're doing here is great. It's an opportunity for us to celebrate and celebrate all the things that we do. And so I'm excited about the band shell, about the sewer project, about the plaza. It's all going to be a super wonderful addition to creating jobs and creating an opportunity for people to celebrate what Grants Pass is about. Here at the end, I'd like to just highlight, just as a quick update, we're doing well and we're making progress with Elk Island, and that is the group that has the grant for approximately $1.2 million for our unhoused shelter. We have already distributed over $400,000 to Elk Island to start that project. They've done a great job of creating a Parker's Place Village community panel. They've met a number of times. Some of the things that that group is doing when it comes to developing that project is they're developing a participant handbook, and they're doing community outreach to the neighborhood and the surrounding area to make sure people understand what the project is and progress with that. We also have, above and beyond that, made a lot of progress when it comes to actually getting the infrastructure established. We have five of the 17 planned 40-foot containers already in Grants Pass. Now, as your listeners may know, they're Connex boxes that are going to be used for shelters, and we already have a number of those in here getting modified and retrofitted so they can be utilized for that site. And so ultimately, that site is scheduled to be open June 1st, and it's still, as far as I know, we're all planning on having that as the actual groundbreaking date to have the 150 resting sites available on June 1st. So a lot of progress is being made on that. I'm excited that from a policy perspective, we have something that council has adopted and we move forward, we've incentivized, and we have great community partners that's making this happen.
All right. Well, one last reminder about the informational meeting tonight at 5:30. Brad, you want to run that down for us?
Yes. Yes. So this is for the Al Plaza 5th Street project, particularly the businesses, merchants that will be impacted by this. It's focused on them and their needs and how to get them the information and the schedules that will help them go through the next couple of months. So that meeting is open in the council chambers at City Hall, 5:30 p.m. tonight.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for your ears. And just a final note here, we're organizing a nonprofit society to help the city manager buy a new razor.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. And to all of you, we thank you very much for your time today. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass.
Save now.